The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 481. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
Returning once again, Mr. Brett Murdoch.
Ayo!
And Brian Monjoma.
What up, what up, what up?
All right, we're back with another one. Brett, good to have you back, sir. People have missed you. They specifically wanted you on the Sunday show, you know?
I'm happy to be here. I will be on this Sunday show with all kinds of answers for all kinds of questions.
Yes.
How was your Odin sleeve / hyperbaric time chamber resting?
Honestly, it was good. The convention we went to was, I don't know, man, if you've ever been to a situation like this, like where you get an invitation to a convention, you go and you find out when you get there that it's kind of hot garbage. Shit. And that you're not going to make much money while you're there.
Yep. I've had that.
And you're like, cool, well, here's just, I guess, 3 days of wasting my time.
I mean, the way I sort of treated it is like, oh, especially if it's a city I hadn't gone to, I'd just be like, all right, I know this is going to be a shit show, but, you know, at least I'm going to make the best of wherever the hell I'm at right now. And that's the way I sort of see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we kind of worked the best. It was small. It didn't help. It was local. It was people kind of trying to get one off the ground, but they did not advertise it enough. And it was not very big. And the venue they were having it in was, Union Station, so it was supposed to be, you know, kind of fancy, kind of upscale, but yeah. Union Station has the worst echo ever, so to have like a stage where they're playing music and doing contests in a place that it was just the war. You're just being bombarded with music from like 12 different sources and all of it echoing from all different, like, that it was the sound of pure insanity.
That is exactly the situation where we had, what was it called, Keystone Comic Con here in Pennsylvania. And they absolutely didn't advertise it. Mostly nobody came. And instead of a concert, there was a wrestling ring. And it was constantly, they're just throwing each other. And you couldn't talk at all to anybody. Because it was just this loud, obnoxious. They'd have their entrance music. They'd have this. They had this loud slamming noise, and then at one point they had some band come through. It was just atrocious.
Yeah, I mean, can't win them all. Hopefully, they learn what went right, what went wrong, and next year they fix it. Though I'll be honest, I don't know if I'm going next year. That was I'm done. I think I'm done with local conventions. It's just a worse version of being at my shop.
Well, I mean, you know what I would say? Like, yeah, like if it's a place that's out there that's inviting you would be a good, if it's good, because at least gets you somewhere not home, that's home all the time. The other thing is also just look into the convention and be like, hey, yeah, is this legit? Because obviously it's a startup one, but yeah, it's hard to tell when those. I get offers for those like startup cons all the damn time. And I kind of let them slide a little bit because obviously they're desperate to get people in seats to sort of, you know, get people in. Yeah. But I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the deal. My friend Heather, who's a friend and coworker Heather, got sponsored by one of the people who was also sponsoring the show / one of the co-producers of the show. And so when we got into the convention where they were like, hey, we're going to put you next to Heather. So like you can all kind of work as a shop. But instead when we got there, like they had separated all of the sponsored artists at the very end cap and then dropped everybody else kind of sprinkled out. So we ended up being actually away from the convention hall. So they ended up splitting our shop basically in half, which was super inconvenient. And yeah, it was weird. And I don't know, man, like it was, we went because she was friends with one of the promoters, and then the promoters kind of boned us by splitting us up. So not super.
Yeah. Well, regardless, even though the convention was not great, we are glad to have you back, man. Good stuff.
Thanks. Good to be back.
All right. And shout out to Chris Seeley, who just showed up. So hopefully storms aren't too crazy out there, man.
Yo. I'll tell you something weird in Texas. I don't know if Carlos notices this. How come they knew 2 weeks before the eclipse that we're going to have bad, like cloudy weather and not be able to see it? Yet I got 3 alerts and texted before the show that I got dangerous thunderstorms. Oh, we might lose power. And then the shit just dissipates. It doesn't even come here. That's like, what the
crazy.
Fuck?
Oh, yeah.
And that was only an hour ago.
It's big state syndrome, where it's like it could hit you or it could not hit you. It could probably be just part of Austin or just, you know. Yeah, it happens. It happens here, too.
Yeah. All right, man.
It's been windy as fuck, though.
Oh, shit. By El Paso, Carlos?
Yeah,
food.
these last couple of days has been hella windy.
I yo, guess. Man, you gotta tell Storm to cool it, yo. She's all like, yeah, right. Winds, power.
All right, man. Let's get into it, man. So this week was kind of a mixed bag. Nothing really prevalent happening, but some interesting stuff. Regardless, first thing I want to talk about. Oh shit, I got the link wrong here. But let me get this. I want to talk about Yoko Taro, man. Director of Nier Automata, of what's the other one, Manny?
The Replicant, Drakengard.
That's the one I was looking for. Among others, a very eccentric guy.
That's the one that you hit. That's the one you gave a really bad rating to. Was it Drakengard 3?
Yeah, Drakengard 3. The fanboys weren't happy with me about that, you know? and that was initially why. When Nier Automata was announced, I was like, I don't know about that. I didn't like the Drakengard 3, but it was by Platinum, so I'm like, let me give it a shot, and I'm glad I did, because it's great. And obviously the game is so good that it inspires Stellar Blade. It's not even any mincing words. The director, Kim, that's his last name. I don't know what it's like. I got to look at his first name, maybe pronounce it correctly. But Kim, he's like, yeah, that's one of my biggest inspirations. But anyway, so IGN, actually, we got to go back a little bit, because we talked about this before, right? How a couple weeks ago, IGN France, let's just say it, they insulted Shift Up and Kim, you know, over Stellar Blade. And then IGN America, you know, core IGN, they stepped it back. Hey, you know, we don't condone any of that. And now we think we know why. Because of this interview. So they interviewed Yoko Taro and Kim, just talking about their creative process and stuff. And Yoko Taro had like nothing but love and praise for Stellar Blade. As a matter of fact, he said he thinks Stellar Blade is a better game than Nier Automata. His two main reasons was he thinks that Stellar Blade has better graphics and better gameplay, more challenging gameplay. But obviously, you know, that could be up for interpretation, because maybe you want the simpler gameplay, you know? And even,
I think,
yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the thing about it is, like, also, you know, despite, you know, obviously Nier Automata doing very well and the other, you know, doing very well, Yoko Taro, a lot of his, you know, dealing with the inability to do things, is he usually does it with story. So he has an initial idea, but it'll always be, you know, something's like, okay, either the company, you know, the developers can't handle it or whatever. So he fills in the blanks with the story. I at least, you know, I haven't played this game yet, but I suspect there was no limitations for, you know, Mr. Kim here, because, you know, he got to do the thing. He probably got to do most of the things he wanted because he had the development team that could perform, especially Yoko Taro's previous titles before Nier Automata. He didn't have Platinum Games. He had this other studio, which wasn't very good.
Yeah, no, you're right, because like when I played Nier Automata, I'm like, oh, there's like a better Drakengard, you know, like Drakengard with good controls. That's the way I felt about it. You know, still had that quirkiness and weirdness, but this is Yoko Taro. You know, he's a very eccentric guy. He still runs around with that Nier Automata fucking helmet or whatever.
The thing about it is, it's because when the weirdness, to be honest, I feel should never really come from the actual gameplay. Like, there shouldn't be, you know, obviously if you have a little bit of challenge, that's great, but it should never really be you shouldn't be thinking about how horrible the gameplay is. You really should be thinking about the content of the game. And I think that's the big difference between his, you know, Yoko's early titles and his later titles. He actually had he had a team that could actually perform the thing that he wanted him to do, yeah, as opposed to just being like, oh, well, I can't do this shit. All right, let's put a text adventure in the middle of the game.
Yeah,
because I couldn't put that part in.
Yeah, crazy stuff like that. But yeah, he also said that, you know, playing Stellar Blade made him jealous, which is interesting. Go ahead.
He's very usually he's very blunt and also a bit joking.
Yeah.
When it comes to that stuff, like he'll say stuff like, "I don't like the director, the publisher at Square Enix because he's too handsome, and I don't like handsome people."
Yeah, yeah. Yoko Taro is a character, man.
He's just a character.
Yeah, he's a character. But yeah, so it was kind of cool. Him, you know, it's like Senpai noticed me, you know, very cool stuff right there. And then go ahead.
The other thing about Kim to know, and this is also gets mentioned inside of the article, is that he actually got started. He's younger than Yoko Taro, but he got started in the game industry before Yoko Taro. Because he worked. He was the illustrator and designer for, character designer for Magna Carta. And, you know, that's like blast from the past right there. Chris, you remember Magna Carta, the PlayStation 2 game and that giant book that we have?
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, you
probably
yeah.
should still have it. But, yeah,
oh, yeah,
that's the same. It's the same guy. And so it's like, you know, Yoko Taro also sort of mentions in that interview, and he's like, you know, I like, it's interesting because he's like, I see you as like, you know, I'm inspired by you because of Magna Carta, but I'm older than you, you know?
Yeah.
I'm older than you, but you've been in the game industry longer than me.
Yeah. He says that he considers him the elder in the gaming industry, you know, even though, yes, he is, you know, physically older than him. But yeah, no, obviously, you know, Mr. Kim there hasn't really hid the fact that he's been inspired by Nier Automata. He says like, yeah, I also wanted to make a big game with like, you know, an action heroine in a devastated world, but, you know, doing my own way and all that. So it's been, kind of cool just seeing that. Then, and I think, Yoko Taro brought this up. It's like, yeah, we made this game, you know, and like no one else has kind of done this. So it's kind of fitting that somebody else would eventually come in and do their own Nier Automata type of game, which is a good point. It's like, okay, because that game came out when Nier Automata 2018, I want to say 2017, 2018, I think 2018. And in the year since, we haven't had any like inspired games by it, which is interesting, you know,
17.
Okay. Yeah. That was the year. Right. And then, you know, but obviously Stellar Blade, like many other games, are inspired by Souls Combat. So that's in there. And that's another thing Yoko Taro said. It's like, I feel this game is, he felt the game is better on a gameplay standpoint because it's more challenging, you know, even though I like, it depends on the type of person, you know, you know, and based off demo, because I obviously I can't, I've, you know, played Stellar Blade, I beat the game, but I can't give you my impressions yet. So I'll just based off the demo. That demo, when I dropped, it made people go, okay, this isn't just, you know, an ass and cheat game. This is some real shit, you know?
But you know, it's very interesting because that's the same, that's the same thing that Nier Automata did. They put out this demo and they're like, here, play this game, you know, check it out. And I feel like I noticed that there's a kind of a resurgence of demos.
I noticed that.
There's a lot of games that are coming out with like, you know, pretty meaty demos. Like this game on its own.
This demo's definitely meaty.
Yeah. People are like playing for 50 hours. But yeah, it's like they, you know, you could literally, you know, you can literally, you know, begin your progress from where you left off when you play the full game. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. It is nice to see more and more demos dropping, you know. By the way, real quick, shout out to Fergus Mills. You already know. hanging out in the chat. And of course, Mr. Otaku Man, you know, shout out to him. But yeah, it was just kind of nice. Instead of seeing like developers bickering each other, you guys were just, you know, talking about their craft, you know, talking about their games.
They're not coming out of the woodwork saying how bad the game design is, like a certain studio was doing.
Talking all that shit.
You, Mr. Ubisoft. Yeah. Was it Ubisoft? It was Ubisoft on Elden Ring.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was a Ubisoft developer. Thank you, Manny. There's actually a Ubisoft thing we do need to discuss. I don't have in the show notes that I need to drop in here. If Adam was here, he'd be talking about it for sure. You know? Well, the other thing. Also, go ahead. Whoever was talking.
Oh, no. I just said, oh.
Also, very interesting. Both of these guys were inspired by Neon Genesis Evangelion. You could see that in their works, obviously. You know, that's pretty evident, but taking it in a different direction in that series, you know, it's good.
Yeah, I hate anything that the Ono guy makes.
Because you like Gunbuster and you like whatchamacallit.
I like Gunbuster and The Secret of Blue Water.
There you go. Yeah, you like those.
I like those two, but everything else, I don't know. Shinji's a wuss.
Yeah, well, it's Evangelion you don't like, and you don't like Shin Godzilla either. I really like Shin Godzilla, but I did not like Shin Ultraman. I did not like that. Go ahead, man. You were muted. You're muted again.
I also said I didn't care too much for Shin Kamen Rider.
After Shin Ultraman, I'm like, I think I'm good. You know, although I did see a video over the weekend that kind of put the movie into context with regard to it. I'm like, okay, I probably just won't like the show then. You know. Tokusatsu stuff is generally fun. Anything else you guys want to say about this interview? It's a pretty long interview too, man. Pretty crazy. But obviously, you know, Rich and I can't really speak too much about Celebrity just yet, you know?
Again, obviously IGN trying to keep their cards in order there, especially when you have a big interview with somebody who has the most anticipated game and one of the most beloved video game creators ever, and all of a sudden you have some guy from the other branch start talking smack,
yeah,
and being insulting,
and then he doubled down too. That's the other thing. Wrote this other stupid post. Talk about like, oh, you know, looking at women like that is gonna make girls commit suicide. I'm like, okay, bro. Okay,
yeah, that guy really needs to get his shit in check. Like, he really needs to sit back and think about it for a second. You know. But anyway.
All right, I'm throwing this story in now. It was not in the show notes, but we got to talk about it. Did you like the crew? Adam liked the crew. Brian, you liked the crew.
What a game.
Apparently. Ubisoft is stripping people's licenses for the game if you bought it digitally. Can't play it. Won't be able to play it.
Uh-oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Rich is right.
Go ahead, Rich. Yeah, I know you've been keeping up in touch with this.
Oh, no, I didn't hear this news.
Oh.
This is absolutely ridiculous, but no, continue.
Yeah,
I need to hear more about this.
Yeah, let's get into this, man. So I'm going to read this story off PC Gamer. Ubisoft is stripping people's licenses for the crew weeks after its shutdown, nearly squandering hopes of fan servers and acting as a stark reminder of how volatile digital ownership is. We've been telling you this, people. So I'm going to read the article. The downside of digital ownership has reared its ugly head for enjoyers of Ubisoft's open world multiplayer racer, The Crew. The publisher has revoked its license for those who owned it on Ubisoft Connect, almost destroying fan ambitions to revive the game in both an offline and online format. The Crew was pulled from sale back in December, with Ubisoft revealing that the servers would be shut down at the beginning of April. Frustratingly, despite a large portion of the game being downloadable in single player, The Crew remained an online-only endeavor throughout its decade-long lifespan that had already rendered the game unplayable, but it seems Ubisoft is determined to take things one step further to stamp out any attempts to continue playing its past expiry date. This is some crazy shit. Fans began to notice earlier in the week that the license to the game had been snatched away from them. A message at the top of the game's library page reads, here's what it reads. You no longer have access to this game. Why not check out the store to pursue your adventures? That's insulting. It's also been moved to its own individual section in player libraries listed under inactive games. Apparently, booting the game directly from the installation directory will still launch the game, but only in a demo mode. The news has, unsurprisingly, gone down very poorly. This was the saddest and most ruthless decision I've ever seen in gaming history, said one Redditor. I will always fight for digital media. I love all the advantages it gives to users all around the world, but this, we need protection on the national European level, that when we purchase something, we need to have lifetime access to it no matter what. A further Reddit user called it really abhorrent behavior that needs to stop being legal. With another writing, in an ideal world, revoking a license like this should entitle the buyer to a refund. I'm not sure why they're even bothering doing this. The game isn't playable anymore, so what exactly is the harm keeping the game available for download for those who have purchased it? Server space, is Ubisoft really that cheap? Yeah, they are. We've kind of proven that before. And here's where the article comes back. It's worth noting that it appears you can technically still download the game on Steam, but any attempt to play it is followed up with a request to input a game key. Shit. And here's the last paragraph here. Now, it's one thing to just delist the game and still allow owners to download and boot it if they want, even if the game is technically dead. But it's another thing to revoke the license to the files entirely. It came very close to putting a dent in plans to bring fan servers to the game, but one can project one project appears to still be chugging along. All right. We're not going to read the rest of this. There's actually a lot more here. But yeah, this is fucking crazy.
I'm going to say this.
Go ahead, man.
I'm going to say this about that. When you log into certain games, right, and I'm sure the crew is included, usually most game studios have a bit of rhetoric in there that says, hey, yeah, we can delete this shit. You know, you don't own this stuff, to cover their assets. Has anybody in their whole, in any of these, in any of this, you know, obviously backlash that's happening right now, bothered to look at the user agreement?
No, you know they didn't. No, yes. You know why? Because nobody reads that shit.
Nobody reads the user agreements. Well, I think whoever is still interested in that game needs to really look at their user agreement and really see, really look at and see what, if they have the right to really complain. Because I have a feeling they don't.
Yeah, and I also suspect whatever thing is in the agreement for that game is probably in a lot of other games, you know?
Yeah. And that's how a lot of these games get away with doing stuff like this. Because if they have a user agreement, you know, some games actually have, like, as soon as you start the game up, they have a little bit of a user agreement up in the front end. So has anybody read any of those? Because there might be some really important information in there that you might be missing.
Yeah.
As opposed to whether you actually own your title or you don't.
Yeah, but again,
really? We read those every time.
Yes, every single time.
Yeah, we do. We totally read them all.
Yeah, because it's like either accept it or decline it. They don't play the game. That's literally your two choices.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's usually after you've already bought the game. So, like, just sit, throw your money in the trash, or accept these conditions.
I put the I have the access to the time to demos on PlayStation. I noticed I played a little Alan Wake 2 on there, and it had one of those things in the beginning too. And I'm like, I took a little moment to read a little bit of it, but I'm like, why do we need a user agreement in front of this game? Isn't it supposed to be a game that's not?
What are we doing, Manny? You want me to click on watch stream or something?
What do you mean? Well, I'm not. No, that's Drunken Demon.
Oh, Brian, that's you want to show something? Okay,
that's Brian. Mm-hmm. That's not me.
Okay. Well, thank you, Brian. All right. So what's going on here?
You're showing us the crew.
Okay. Oh, look at that. You no longer have access to this game. Why not check the store to pursue your adventures? Holy shit. Yep. Look at that.
So there it is.
Yeah, Brian, what are your thoughts on this? Obviously, you were a fan of the crew, you know?
I'm not overly surprised Ubisoft would pull something like this. But at the same time, I'm just more annoyed at it that they did this. Okay, I'm not annoyed that they can do this, because again, it's all part of the end user license agreement, and again, as we said, no one reads 30 pages off that, and it's there somewhere. But it's more a case of, I don't it's just frustrating that they did this. Because again, they could have just said, okay, you know what, no longer being supported, put it out in the wild, people can make custom servers, etc. End of story, we just won't officially support it. So hence, they move it from like a Ubisoft-owned thing to more of a community-owned thing, you know, where the community can support it and play it and whatnot. You know, still have that. But no, they just decided to pull the plug, and then they pull the plug even further by making sure that you can't do that. And that's the thing that's just really annoying about the whole situation. So it's interesting now, because it's now at a point where, again, this is now one of those games that is in the category of can no longer be played, you know? Again, going back to your guy's book about games that can only be played, that have been made, this is now one of those, you know? And it's quote-unquote recent, and it's just, yeah, that's it. It's done. Nothing can be done. I don't know what legal challenges can be made from our point of view that can get it back. So yeah. It's just kind of... it's done. It's lost. It's lost history. You know, the same thing with Mag. It's just lost history. You know, can't play it. You can't play it. You can't buy it. It's done. It's, yeah, it's very sad. But at the same time, I think the big issue with all of this is it's not digital that's the problem. It's DRM that's the problem. And yeah. I think once that the DRM problem is fixed, quote unquote, and that's a massive challenge on so many different fronts, then things like this might not be a problem. But I don't think we'll ever get to a point where DRM is fixed, because again, DRM is working as intended for some people, just that those some people is not us.
Yeah. Rich, what are your thoughts, man?
All right, so first and foremost, let me just say I agree with a lot of the points that have been made. But I do want to emphasize, I am definitely a bit taken back by this news, because literally at the end of last year, I got invited to an event for the Crew Motorfest. They had a whole bunch of people come out to San Francisco for this event so they can see the upcoming season of content, because they are partnering with another company that was also in San Francisco for how they were going to advertise their cars. So while I know that they want everybody to play the Crew Motorfest now, I think they missed an opportunity to use the original Crew game as a gateway to introduce people to this other game. So to see that they have decided to just shut this down, I think this is going to impact the Crew Motorfest, because clearly when they invited people to come out to this event, it's because they want people talking about this actual content. So I kind of feel like the people who were mad about what happened with the Crew, they may not support this MotorFest game moving forward. And that's I just don't know who thought about this, but I would have thought a little bit more about how to handle this situation before just outright making this decision like this.
That's a good point, because if you're, you know, looking forward to that new Crew game, you're going to be thinking, wait, are they going to take that away from me too in the future? It's a valid concern, you know?
I mean, like, here's the thing. Like, it's one thing to be like, oh, well, are they going to keep my game up when it's, you know, not super profitable, when there aren't people, a lot of people playing it, when there are costs involved, things like that. But, like, my main question is, like, okay, so what happens in, say, like, an Overwatch 2 situation, right? Like, what happens when you have a quasi-live service, or even not live service, let's say single-player offline video game, right? But they come out with, you know, fuck it, Last of Us. We got The Last of Us. Then they come out with The Last of Us Remastered. I know, hard to imagine, but it happens, right? They come out with The Last of Us Remastered. Then they remove the original Last of Us, which some of the original lines or whatever, you know, like, we all know, like, we've all seen the damn Disney movies where, you know, it's new, oh, it's old, oh, it's new, oh, it's old. Like, my point is that, like, it will be very easy for companies to then force people into buying certain products and not other older products that they could, you know, charge less money. They can force them to buy the newer premium products by locking them out of the old ones intentionally. Like, we've only seen the bad in them being accidentally bad, but there's a whole new level of them being intentionally and maliciously bad that can open up. So it's bad, and it can get worse.
So, and this might be a stupid question, what if you bought the game physically? Can you still play it, or are you just locked out too?
I think, and that's the problem, because the digital sales are driving the market, I think you'll be locked out even as a physical owner.
That's what I think too, yeah. Because if the servers are shut down.
Yeah, I suspect that too.
Yeah, that's what I think. So even, you know, because, you know, the thing people would say in this instance would be like, buy physical. It won't help you here either, you know?
That would work if everybody bought physical, but the market has shifted to mostly digital. So we can't vote with our wallets in that fashion because it doesn't really matter. Now, the thing I have learned from getting a digital-only PlayStation is don't do that. Just have the ability to play physical. Have the ability to get stuff. Like, every time I think about it, I want to, like, get a game. I go on the Sony website. It's just like $50 or $60 or $70. Like, it's way more expensive than it should be because they have courted their own digital marketplace. So, you know, don't get digital-only consoles. It's a bad idea.
Yeah, which is funny you say that because, like, all the companies are not pushing for that.
Oh, of course they are. Of course they are, because that's in their benefit.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's like even physical is not going to, you know, save you at the end of the day. Shit is crazy. I mean,
it just depends. It depends on, yeah, like, just like Brian said, it's the DRM that you need to really worry about. Hey, didn't we have that conversation about, like, I don't know, how long has it been? 15, 20 years now?
Yeah, about, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, where you could trade games, you know, without... Shohei Yoshida.
Yeah, that's right. When PlayStation 4 was revealed, 2013.
I'm pretty sure that came up
10 years ago.
In the beginning of my adult career, like PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
And the big irony here is we finally got to a place where backwards compatibility is kind of ubiquitous, and now we're getting to a place where they just take it away freely. Like, it frustrates me because we were so close to just being able to, like, play last generation's games on this thing too, but now they can take down last generation's games and only sell you the new version. Like, we thought we had them tricked, we thought we had a workaround, then they changed the whole system. Like, it's just there's a sad irony there. I don't really know what the point of that out is, other than, like, I noticed it, so now you have to notice it too.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've seen some of that stuff happening on Steam. Like, for example, they'll release, like, an updated version of a game, and then they'll get rid of the old version, like the old Final Fantasies that they had, which were bad. Don't get me wrong, they were bad. Like, they had mobile versions of Final Fantasy. Those got replaced with the pixel remasters. But what if you wanted those old games? Like, I think with Steam, if you download them, you're still good. But regardless, it goes to show you that there's not really any permanence when it comes to the digital stuff, you know? Just how it is, man. All right, let's move on here. Ghost of Tsushima, people. Coming to PC. Official. But the real reason I want to talk about this is because they're doing something I've been asking for a while. PlayStation trophies on PC games. It's happening. And I believe it looks like... Go ahead, Manny.
Cross-save, too.
Cross-save, yep. And what is this, Mania? A new UI, which is pretty cool. All right, let me read this real quick. So PlayStation. Ghost of Tsushima director's cut to come in to PC on May 16th. Mania, day after your birthday.
Yo, man, they're doing it. Yo, man, they're putting that ghost out for my birthday.
Hey, what's up with that? What's up with that?
And I can't play it on my old ass PC. What's up with that?
Yeah. All right, so let's get to this part. As we've previously announced, Ghost of Tsushima director's cut on PC contains the full game, the Iki Island expansion, and a cooperative multiplayer Legends mode. Thanks to cross-play support, Legends players on Windows PCs can team up with players on both PS4 and PS5s and use in-game voice chat to communicate. You will be required to sign into your PlayStation Network account to access it. Makes sense. That's kind of cool. They're still supporting that. Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut is the first PlayStation title on PC that uses a new PlayStation overlay, which includes your friends list, trophies, settings, and your profile. This feature is available on Windows PCs and will be accessible from the in-game menu or for keyboard players by pressing Shift plus F1 on their keyboard. Cool. Okay, so yeah, because I was
interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Kind of like the Xbox menu that shows up on PC if you're playing a Xbox game. Same sort of deal.
Okay, while playing the game on PC, go ahead, bro.
PlayStation just quietly took a very big step forward to integrating with PC.
Yeah, no, you're right. Continue on here to prove your point, Brett. While playing the game, you can earn PlayStation trophies just like on PlayStation consoles. Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut on PC shares the same trophy set as the game on PS5. In addition, the PC version also has full support for achievements on Steam and the Epic Game Store. Oh shit, you get like three fucking achievement sets, basically. That's wild, man. To make use of features like trophies, friends lists, and crossplay, you can sign into your existing PlayStation account. Okay, we figure that. The use of PlayStation overlay is optional for both the single player experience and Legends mode. Cool. Some stuff here. Anyway, Brett, what's your take on this, man?
Will this thing be retroactive on all the other PlayStation things?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
So, Spider-Man and all those other games have been released.
Well, man, that's what the re-releases are for.
Wait, Manny, hold on.
Re-releasing.
You say that again? I don't think I understood your question.
I'm saying, will this be retroactive to all the previous games?
Go back. What is this? What is this? You said it's just going to be attractive.
This overlay thing.
Okay.
This overlay. Oh, who knows? And the trophies and
the overlay and trophies. Stuff.
Okay.
Well, because
trophies on Spider-Man.
It's nice and all to be able to do with Ghost of Tsushima, but they should go down the line and act this on all of their previously released titles.
Yeah, I can't speak to that. I mean, I could only speak for whatever's in this game. You know, do I agree with you? That would be nice. I've been asking for that for years. You know, but I can't answer that because I don't know. And we got some system specs here, recommendations. Let me look. I always go very high. You know me, man. Okay. Well, you need a full RTX 40 at minimum if you want to play on high.
Oh, no.
RTX 40 graphics card.
Not bad.
Yeah. Intel Core i5, 11th gen. That's not too bad. Even on high, these are pretty good specs. Recommended.
Well, they're not bad. Console. That thing was a fucking potato.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're not going to struggle, you know? Good stuff. May 16th. Do they say the file size? I don't know if they do or not. But anyway, I'm really happy about the trophy thing. And like you said, Manny, hopefully it'll come to other games, you know?
I think it's coming to all future ones and they'll re-release the old ones. Like, this is a big deal. In any other scenario, this would be widely advertised. I feel like this would be like the key mark of a new air integration for PlayStation, but PlayStation is doing that shit quietly. I don't know the thing. Anybody else picking that up?
Yeah, because they probably don't want to upset their fan base. Like,
We're just doing it. We're integrating. We're doing PC stuff. Yeah, you know, no biggie.
Yeah, why do you think that is? I think it's because they don't want to upset their existing players.
Exactly, they don't want to upset their fan base. They know it looks good. They know it's a direction they want to move in the future. But they know it would very much upset their fan base. So they're just kind of like, check out a couple cool features. Don't think about what they mean.
And
implications, what are you talking about?
Yeah, right. That's something Sony does in general. Like, remember how they were boasting about how PlayStation Online is always free? And then they snuck it in, the price, you know, without directly saying it. It's like, oh, look what you guys did. I see what you did there, you know. Pretty cool stuff. And we'll see what the game looks like on PC. People have been asking for this one forever, like 3.5 years now, you know? So we shall see. By the way, quick Bob hits like, yo, Tony, are you not going to stop playing PlayStation games and just get them on PC? I'm like, I don't want to wait 4 years between titles, bro. You know? Fuck that shit. But it's good that they're doing that.
I mean, if the time ever comes... When it's day and date, I'm ditching that fucking PlayStation.
Yep, same here. But unless it's day and date, then I'm good. All right,
they know that.
Yeah, exactly. That and this is why they're staggering shit. Does anybody else have any other thoughts on this?
I just think it's pretty cool that they've done this, and in my opinion, they've done this possibly the best way that they could, because they could have easily just went and made their own platform where that's where you buy games, so like a PlayStation Store on PC per se as a launcher, and then just say, okay, that's not how you do it. But they didn't do that. You know, they said, okay, let's just allow you to sign in our games, and there you go. It's like, oh, that is good. That makes sense. You know. However, I do have a slight concern, which again, it is unfounded, but it's a concern and kind of loops back to what we talked about is I can see them using this as a form of DRM to some extent, and I don't know how this will play out with GOG, because GOG is very anti-DRM in that you can just download a game and literally copy and paste it to another device and it's fine. So I don't know how this will play with that, because most games end up being on GOG at this point. I do believe there's like a few games that aren't on GOG yet, but Horizon Zero Dawn is on there, God of War I think is on there, Days Gone is on there. So I don't know how this would play out with GOG if it is acting as some sort of DRM, which again is unfounded, but it's a concern because, again, it's always, I'm always concerned when people try to sneak in DRM to some degree without us knowing. But I guess we'll just wait and see.
Yeah. All right, man. Good stuff. Move on here. More controversy. Obviously, you know, people have been very upset with Star Wars Outlaws, and here's another reason. Apparently, they're locking the Jabba the Hutt mission behind a season pass, which is supposed to be a substantial mission. People are not happy about that. You know, among other things, it's interesting to me. Like, companies are still doing this stuff. 2024, you know, but this is also Ubisoft we're talking about. And now that Adam is on the show, you know, he's not going to defend him. So we'll dunk on Ubisoft, you know. Yeah, because it's like, yeah, you can get the game for like $70, but there's a lot of other, like, if you get the season pass or whatever, you get like two full expansions for $130 and all that. And one of these is a Jabba thing, which is, you know, something people actually want to play. You know, it's Jabba the Hutt. Like, basically get to, like, kind of run around with his, like gang and stuff, you know? But yeah, man, I don't know about this game, bro. When it drops, go ahead, Riff, what are your thoughts on this?
I just want to make a quick comment. I know that Adam is not here to defend Ubisoft, but we can say this. Our very good friend, Mr. Carlos Romero, did say he's picking up this game so he can tell us how the game is when it drops later this year.
I guess so. There you go. Inside scoop.
The famous philosopher, Richard Bailey Jr. I don't know.
Yeah. Is anyone on the panel even excited about this? I sure am not.
I mean, just for the plain fact, I'm just not interested in Star Wars in general. So it's just dead air. I feel like this would have been a lot more if they had something that was going on, you know, that was exciting, you know, for the Star Wars franchise. But they're literally constantly shooting themselves in the foot with their stuff. Star Wars.
Bring back Star Killer, you fucking cowards.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bring
back 13.
You can bring back 13, right. 13, or yeah.
Well, this looks like a half-assed version of 13, to be honest.
When don't we also have the Old Republic remake that's supposed to
come out? That was canceled.
I thought that was canceled, yeah.
Oh.
So
yeah, I think that's fun.
Yeah.
Well, the only real excitement that I would say people have is that after this game gets released, the studio working on this game is going to start working on the Division 3. So that...
Shit.
I'm pretty sure people, they want to play that. They want to see what that's all about. But I don't know anybody else looking forward to this. That's a good question. I have no idea.
If it's not in New York, it's not the Division.
Is that the Division?
If it's not in New York, I'm Rage Quinn.
Oh, man. By the way, quick, correction from last, because we talked about this game on the last week's show. And someone pointed out that, because one of our complaints was that they showed this trailer and we're like, where the fuck's the gameplay? Apparently, they showed like a 10-minute gameplay trailer like months beforehand. But this goes to show you how our interest in this game, that we didn't even know that. You know? Apparently, go ahead.
We're talking about the trailer.
Yeah.
And then that didn't show gameplay. So it's like, why are we hyped about the trailer?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but he just, you know, he pointed out, like, hey, you guys didn't mention the fact that there was a gameplay demo.
I remember the gameplay demo. Yeah, that was came out beforehand, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, before, you know, during the show, we were like, why didn't they have a gameplay demo? None of us could figure out what kind of game it was. So Obviously, we didn't watch the trailer.
No, I mean, I think I could have sworn I mentioned that there was a gameplay demo that was released before this thing.
Yeah,
but you know, you don't know. You don't think about the thing about the here and now is that you know, again, like that, whatever that was, what was before. You know, they showed a little bit of stuff, and okay, you got it, but now it's like here we go again.
So, yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, Brett, what's up, man?
I was just saying, accountability cast. I fucking love it.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, shout out to the fans. They hold us accountable. Like the guy, you know, very respectful. He's been one of our longtime listeners. He said, I love that last week's episode, but I just cringe a little when you guys were talking about that Star Wars because you didn't bring up the fact that there was a 10-minute demo. But, you know, he was cool about it. Regardless,
good on you. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, definitely. Again, hold us accountable. We're not these other fucking gaming sites or podcasts where, you know, if you correct us, we're going to just like shit on you. We're going to thank you.
Yeah, try not to be a dick about it.
But, yeah, I know. He was definitely not a dick, which I appreciate it.
Yeah. That's why I was like, cool, man. Like, no beef. Like, constructive accountability. Always a good thing around here. I love that we have that culture for our podcast and our fans. It's dope.
Yep,
we got accountability buddies.
Yeah, exactly, accountability buddies. Yeah.
All right, find your accountability buddy.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, real quick, not meaning to derail the show, but I want to read something on air. Manny, this is for you. Mr. J Shep. He goes, I don't even know what to say. I'm just blown away right now. This is probably the most awesome gift I've gotten in a very long time. I don't even feel like telling Manny thank you is enough. Please tell him I'm grateful as fuck, man, and thank you. So there you go.
You're welcome, man. You're welcome.
Yeah, so for you guys who don't know, Manny not only sent Jay Shep like a signed, was it a signed DVD case or something of the Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, it was the Ninja Turtles Ultimate Collection DVD cover, you know, it was just the paper. He had sent that. And he also, you know, by the way, you know, big thanks to Mr. Shep.
Yeah, we got to give away these games eventually.
We are swimming in a bunch of games over here because my boy, you know, he hooked us up. So, yeah,
I think we're going to do some for episode 500 for those for sure. But
yeah, that said, I've had, you know, a couple of things going on. Work and you know, obviously, in the passing of my little kitty cat, so it was so really sorry about the how late that took. But I figured I'd throw in a couple of things. So I threw in a signed copy of Excellence, the special what do they call it? The Kickstarter version of Excellence, which is the collection of the whole series in a nice, you know, really nice hardcover. I also put in the special Skybound. Skybound X number 4, which I drew some stuff for Excellence inside of. Me and Kari are both tag teaming on that one, and I can't remember what else in there. I put a couple of comics in there, so yeah, there
you good go. Stuff. All right, man. We don't need to talk about Star Wars anymore. I don't care about that game.
But what's a Star Wars? Let's talk about Star Trek. Who cares about Star Wars
now? Hey, I will say this. I mean, I know we're all negative about it, but I hope it turns out good.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, yeah, like, hopefully it turns out good. I mean, it's like, I saw a couple of people that were sort of, like, you know, happy that it wasn't about a Jedi person, you know, because every single Star Wars game has to have a Jedi. Hopefully she doesn't all of a sudden somehow magically have access to the Force, you know.
Like the Broom Kid?
Kid.
I have a feeling she probably will by the end, you know. Go ahead, Rich.
The stupid
100%.
A deep faked Mark Hamill shows up and says, "Hey, you got the Force. Hi, how's it going?
Yeah.
Hey, have you met my buddy Chewbacca and Princess Leia and Han Solo? And oh, by the way, we resurrected Dash Render. Oh no, he's dead.
Okay. Rich, what's up, man?
I just go make a comment to go to Carlos's point. Yeah, hopefully the game is actually good. I just was gonna say we may be able to talk about that in the future. So stay tuned. Stay tuned for that.
Oh, shit. Inside scoop.
Rich be teasing. Funny thing, Manny, is I actually was about to say the exact same thing. That on the one hand, I am very happy that we finally get a Star Wars game where you don't play as a Jedi, because I'm just
getting sick and tired of it, because there's so many other cool things you can do in the universe. It's not just Deadeye, you know. It's like, okay, there's other things you can do, you know, so do that. This is why 1313 got such excitement, because it wasn't a Jedi, you know. We have good Jedi games, so yeah, it's cool. But as you guys said, if that does happen, then I'm going to be very disappointed. And I'm watching some of the gameplay, and there's a section where she's just driving her land speeder, I guess, and she's just going through the environment. And my first thought is, if there's nothing to do in that environment, then what's the point?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, ooh, that's... Again, it could just be for the sake of just showing you the landscape and, okay, this is how things look and how things work. So, fine, whatever. But again, I'm on the side with Tony here. I'm kind of just meh. I guess if we ever see the Killmonger haircut in this game, then we'll know that it's bad.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Let's go, man. All right. Moving on here, we got to talk about the PS5 Pro again, because that's a thing. And it seems like it actually will be a thing. I think at this point we could probably say it will be. So this is from The Verge, Mr. Tom Henderson, doing the Lord's work as always. I'm going to read this. Codename Trinity, the PS5 Pro model will include a more powerful GPU, a slightly faster CPU, as we've discussed. All of Sony's changes point to a PS5 Pro that will be far more capable of rendering games with ray tracing enabled or hitting higher resolutions and frame rates in certain titles. Sony appears to be encouraging developers to use graphics features like ray tracing more with the PS5 Pro, with games able to use a, quote, Trinity Enhance or PS5 Pro Enhance label if they provide significant enhancements. We broke down all that shit. But the key thing here is, like, basically Sony is like encouraging developers, like, start using that weight tracing, you know. And apparently they want to get the games ready for the summer, because, you know, the reports kind of say that this is probably going to be out, you know, at the end of summer or beginning of fall, kind of like the PS4 Pro, you know, that kind of anniversary point. Go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah. PlayStation 5 Trinity. I wonder, remember when Xbox did the Scorpio?
Yeah.
And all those Xbox put the Scorpio tag in their game, Twitter handles.
Yeah.
These ponies are going to put crosses on their things.
Are they gonna? No, they're gonna put up a Carry On Moss.
That's what I thought. Yeah, Carry On Moss. That's what I thought. You know, I didn't even get the cross reference. Oh, you mean like Jesus cross? Okay, not.
Yeah,
this shows Father, you I'm not a fucking Holy Spirit. Christian. This shows you I'm not a fucking Christian. I'm like, oh yeah. Had to do the math in my head. Yo, by the way,
no, they're gonna put up a Guadalupe. There you go.
By the way, just as an aside, you know, when I was in the office the other day, somebody made some joke about religion. They're like, oh, you gotta pray for this, and I'm like, yo, I don't even know how to do that. I'm just like, you know, like I don't know. It's like, I don't know how to do that shit. Anyway,
I don't know. Prayers usually like asking for things.
Yeah, just no, the, yeah, but like, there's like he, one of them said like a rhyme to remind you of word up, you know, because you got to do that, you know, this shit, like,
the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, like I don't know how to do this. Like, do you point your nuts too? Like, I don't know, man. Not a it's Christian. It's a ritual, like I said.
Yo.
Yeah.
It's a ritual.
Okay. So all this stuff we already talked about, the 45% faster, which we not really 45% fast, you know. But yeah, it is interesting that they're trying to push these things, because that's one of the things that Digital Foundry discovered when they did a technical breakdown of the Stellar Blade demo. It's like, oh, there's no ray tracing no matter what, you know, no matter how high you put the graphics, because, you know, like obviously like a lot of games that have three graphics modes, and if you put it on 4K mode, it's just 4K, no graphical enhancements. So I'm curious to see if that game will eventually get something. You know, especially if it hits as big as I expect.
I feel like, though, I think performance and looking good as is what their main focus was. You know what I mean? I feel like, other than, like, the game already looks pretty decent. It's running on Unreal, so it's like Unreal 4. So I'm thinking they're sticking with what they know. At some point, when you're developing a game, you know, there's something called feature creep, right? And when you're you can't constantly keep if you've already started on an engine or iteration, you can't constantly keep chasing the next engine up or the next features up, because then you don't get your game done. So every single company who is making a game makes that cutoff point and said, okay, boom, this is the one we're using and we're not changing anything.
Except if you're 3D Realms and Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah, unless you're 3D Realms, did exactly what I was talking about, where they literally saw a new engine out and they kept remaking their game.
Yeah. Real quick, Barry Byrne, can you take out the trash, please? Fucking bots, man.
Uh-oh.
All right. Anyway, we don't need to read the rest. We went into at length about this in our previous episode. Pretty interesting stuff, but it seems like, yeah, this thing's coming, you know? Get ready.
I do have a question.
What's
which
up?
Is, so what names are left for them to use? Because they're using quite, again.
They've used Morpheus. They used Trinity. Did they use Neo?
Well,
I don't know. I am trying to find it, but Project I have not Neo? Found anything.
Like, what's that?
I mean, they still got a bunch of other names, right? Cypher, you know, whatever fucking Jada Smith's name character was. So they still got a bunch of names.
No,
the but, Oracle, you know.
No, she Oracle? Was
Merovingian.
The Merovingian, but you don't want to do the bad guys because then you don't want to use those.
Yeah, right? That's funny.
Like the most memorable, though.
That's they are, popular. Yeah.
I mean, Agent Smith.
Agent Smith, yeah. Anybody think of a code name Agent Smith?
That doesn't sound Project Smith.
Yeah, but you know, we'll worry about that when we need to worry about that, I guess. All right, so this one's interesting. By the way, people, you guys asked Brett for his thoughts on Fallout TV show, but it hasn't come out. He hasn't seen it yet, so we'll wait for the Sunday show. But Brett, I still stuck this story here just because I thought you had seen it, but you'll find this interesting regardless. Apparently, Fallout 4 sales over in the European Union have risen by 7,500% after the show dropped.
Yeah, no, I actually saw that, and that was one of the things that it's very coincidental, because earlier today I was like, okay, I think I'm really going to watch that, because I did not like some of the things that they came out with. Wheel of Time, Look at You.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very hesitant about this.
Rings
and then
of Power.
I started seeing some videos that was talking about how it seemed to be pretty good, and then I saw those sales numbers, and I was like, okay, so here's the deal, the way I take that. If the show is good enough to spark interest in, or more likely it seems, remind people of the games, then that is a great sign for, you know, having kind of grabbed the general vibe of the games, which is, you know, what I've heard. So those sales numbers, like, in a way support that the show feels authentic and Fallout-y. So I'm really excited for it. Just for you guys. Not I wasn't going to do it anyway, but just for you guys, I'm going to sit down and binge the whole thing. So I have
nice
thoughts next week for you, or Sunday or whatever.
Remember what happened with Edge Runners?
Yep, same
this
deal.
Is the same effect.
Same effect. Yeah. Successful streaming show sales. Yeah.
See what happens when a company, you know, or people doing adaptation of something really pays attention to the world that they're sort of, you know, setting their thing in, you know, instead of throwing things to the wayside, like a certain show with a white haired character.
Oh, man.
To the wayside. That's a good one.
Well, I mean, also from what I've understood about the Fallout show, it's not trying to preach anything at you. It doesn't have an overarching moral story. It's a dark comedy, the same way the game is, and in the sense that, and because of that, it doesn't really have a preachy moral, you know, tie everything up with a bow kind of thing. And I like that, and I think in today's day and age, you know, we need more of that. It feels and sounds genuine, so I'm actually pretty stoked about it. I'm not expecting everything, but you know, as far as an adaptation, it seems like it's got a lot of the right stuff.
I got a couple of things, Brett. Oh. You said don't expect everything. Well, don't watch Adam's Twitter feed, because you'll expect everything.
Oh yeah, Brett, you missed it. So Adam, I got to pull up this tweet, man, because some people.
While you do that,
yeah, please, I got to look it up. So vamp, please.
number three, and I'm pretty sure Brian was going to chime in with this. Number three, Steam sales right now, Fallout 76. Number five, Fallout 4. Number nine, Fallout 4 Game of the Year Edition. And number 12, Fallout New Vegas. And number 13, Fallout Franchise Bundle. So this thing is selling, man.
Hold on, real quick before anything. Brian, can you guess what number four is?
GTA?
Yes. Yes, oh, GTA 5. I'm talking
with GTA for everything.
Yep.
Like, it's GTA.
Go ahead,
is Brett. Fallout 76 selling the most of the Fallouts?
No.
Yes.
Wait, Fallout 4 selling the most right now, Carlos?
On Steam, I think, but maybe overall, probably.
Okay. Yeah, because on this list, again, the European Union, so number one is Fallout 4. Number eight is Fallout 76. Number nine is Fallout New Vegas. And number 10 is Fallout 3. That's crazy. Four old-ass games. Well, not 76, but all these games that are not new just suddenly on there. Very interesting. So Brett, I want your take on this. This is from Adam, right? And you know Adam, he's not a liar. You know, because people were like, oh, is he lying? Is he just capping? No, this is Adam. This is real. They thought it was Manny jokes. Like, is this AI generated?
Yeah, it's hilarious because he hasn't chimed in like much in, you know, in a while.
Adam doesn't tweet.
That one, he totally chimed in on that one.
So check this out, Brett. So Adam, you know, he added Amazon Studios and Bethesda and said, I just finished watching Fallout and have to say it's the best damn show I've seen in years. And I feel blessed to have lived in a time to see its creation.
Wow.
Yeah, so. If you're expecting the world, then just read Adam's Twitter timeline.
Yeah. But,
this better be the Elden Ring of TV shows.
Oh, man. So, needless to say, Adam really likes it, you know?
All right. I mean, I'm really hard to see as many Fallout fans excited about it. And my only concern is like, and I'm not in a gatekeeping way, but I'm like, oh, I don't know if the people that are really enjoying it are like casual Fallout fans or some of the more hardcore Fallout fans like the Lore Keepers. Because if you impress the Lore Keepers to the point where evangelizing on the internet, that is really, really impressive, like almost unheard of. You don't impress the evangelists. You never do.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the interesting divide I've seen. Like, guys like Adam, I don't want to call him a normie, but he does lean that way. People like him really like it, but the Lore Keepers are like, what the fuck is this shit? You know?
Okay.
Actually, the
they're very upset about New Vegas, how apparently they've erased it from the timeline.
Well, actually, it doesn't. There's actually something in there. No, it's not deleted from there.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Well, no, yeah. But remember, that's what they said, you know, that. So I don't know if that's, you know, like maybe they found that's out, not, it, but, that's it, a, but there was like,
no, that's what they didn't say that the official.
No. I'm saying that's what fans were really mad about over the weekend, for example.
Well, yeah, but people looked into it and they're like, no, it doesn't erase anything.
Yeah.
So there was a false alarm.
Okay, that's good to know then, because those guys, you know, I saw videos everywhere. Oh, they're racing. And even on this podcast, we speculated that it was like, oh, because Todd Howard didn't make the game, so he wanted to get a race.
He didn't make the game. Yeah, I mean, I think in general, like, you know, one thing about like the way the way that world works is it has all the things all set up. And I think, you know, set up, you know, for a creator to essentially play in that universe. So you could literally, you could, you know, they have a certain amount of vaults that they have in that world, right? You know, who's to say that this one didn't exist and now it can?
Yeah.
So.
But there you
but
go.
But I think the one thing that people were saying about the lore is like they wish that it went deeper into the lore and all that sort of stuff. But the thing about it, it's a TV show. You know, like not even Star Wars goes that far into the lore. They go to the main stuff, right? But they don't tell you about everything else that's going on in their universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, but there you go. Any thoughts on this resurgence of Fallout games after the TV show?
Well, it's good.
It's good.
The games are good. So you know,
make another Fallout. Don't make another Starfield.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, Adam, also speaking of Adam, he's been playing Fallout, Fallout 3 Game of the Year edition nonstop on Steam.
Really?
Yep. So it's got him hooked.
He's back in it, man.
I'm bad. Just when I thought I was out.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I've just been looking at the Steam charts.
Okay.
And for like last couple of years, it hovers around the 15,000 mark as like monthly average players. In the last 30 days, it's jumped up to 25,000 average players. So it's a massive jump. And like right now, it's hitting at like a recent peak players of over 100,000 players. That's Fallout 4 alone on Steam. And like that's great. That's fantastic. And just because I was here, I decided to look at the other game to see how great that's doing. It's sitting at around about 269 players.
Oh, shit.
Wait, which game is this?
Try and guess.
Is it the All-Stars game?
No. It is the other one.
Forspoken?
No, the one that came out in January or February.
Oh, yeah. The suicidal game.
No.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. That game's fucking dead. Like I said, man, if Rocksteady Studios tanks, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, happened to Volition, right? And it happened to Luminous Studios. So there you go. All right, man. Moving on here. Last story of the night. This one's funny, man. So currently, Microsoft has more bestsellers on PlayStation Store than Sony does. Ain't that something? So let's break this down, man. So right now, what are these Microsoft-owned games that are on PlayStation? Call of Duty, obviously, number 2. Overwatch, number 7. Sea of Thieves, number 12. Fallout 4, it's back up there, people. Number 16. Minecraft and Fallout 76, 19 and 20, respectively. And 23, Grounded. Now let's look for the PlayStation games. Sure, they're here somewhere. Here we go. MLB The Show, number 4. Helldivers, number 6. Destiny 2, number 14. Yes, that is a Sony game. Stellar Blade. Remember, you know, these are games being bought, not played. And then Rise of the Ronin. So, yeah, more Microsoft games being bought on PlayStation than actual PlayStation games. Ain't that crazy, you know? Ain't that something? Although I do find... Go ahead, Brett. I know you have something to say about this.
It's not enough to, like... break the myth of Microsoft not having any games, but it's a bit of a start.
Yeah. Although online, man, because I posted about this, most of the replies were, they don't care because they bought those studios. Like, but they're Microsoft-owned games. The article literally says Microsoft-owned games. So,
well, I think both sides, honestly, like, I think some people make good points without necessarily knowing they're making, like, and I agree that Microsoft owned and Microsoft developed games
are two different things. Yeah.
But, you know, we're not saying Microsoft developed games. And that's why I say, like, they're not there yet, but this is it's kind of a good start, I guess. But a good start because, like, buying a bunch of studios isn't really a show of any, you know, talent or anything like that. It's a good direction. It's a good look for Microsoft, specifically for Microsoft. Not necessarily the industry, not anybody else, just Microsoft.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the best way of looking at it. It's like, hey, you know, Microsoft is putting they're not doing it because those games would have been there regardless. But still, you know, they are using that power. You know, now they have PlayStation's audience effectively, if you think about it, you know. But yeah, I saw this going around. Very interesting, and obviously got a lot of people very upset. It's like
It's like when you went technicality. It's just weird and unsatisfying. Microsoft, you still got to come out with what would we say? Like, you still have three big games, three heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Before you can start to think about building your brand back, and we got to see in this generation too. Like, you got to set out three heavy hitters this generation, so that you can launch next generation on a more even footing. If you don't do that, then the divide's not going to close, period. But if you don't put out several Microsoft developed games in a show of a good brand, then your next generation launch is not going to be as good as you want it to be.
You know what's funny, Brett? On the Sunday show, I pretty much said almost exactly what you just said, and people were like, oh man, I wish Brett was on this episode to defend Microsoft. He just said what I just said on the Sunday show, people. I literally said that too. You know, it's like, yes, like Microsoft needs to have good games at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's the Microsoft tax. They've got an uphill battle because they didn't deliver for a while. Like, this is what happens, and this is a weird thing that I don't think that the industry or shareholders or developers, like, nobody seems to talk about is how these things are cycles of goodwill that feed on themselves, and like, it can make or break franchises and make and break studios. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I agree. And that's something, you know, you changed my mind on too, because when I initially heard, you know, about the Xbox tax, I dismissed it. I'm like, that's fucking stupid. There's no such thing as that. Then you explained it. It's like, oh, wait, there is an Xbox tax. Deserved Xbox tax, mind you, you know? It's like, yeah, they kind of brought this on themselves for over 10 years of not really doing anything, you know? That's facetious, but yeah, you know what I mean. They haven't done anything to really shake things up game-wise, you know?
No, I like to really put things in perspective. Like, I mean, get me wrong, to people that, like, I would be here to defend Microsoft, like I am, and I love Microsoft. I love my Xbox. I've saved so much fucking money. I have paid for my Xbox twice over easily in just money I haven't spent. It's lowered the bar to entry, changed the way I play video games. I honestly can't say enough good about it. It has been a high watermark late, and just by the small thing of removing that bar to entry, it's got me playing more video games and has ranked it higher in my consoles than I, you know, on a lot of gaming consoles. So I absolutely do love it. But that being said, Tony and I had talked to them, like, we both kind of agree that, like, they don't have a lot, and they've spoiled a lot of people's opinions by consistently under delivering, and that's not the kind of thing that just goes away, right? Like, you really have to knock people's socks off. You have to show them and force them to think differently, because otherwise they're just going to go with, you know, what they've already concluded. And that's how people are. So Microsoft, you still gotta push it. Owning these things isn't enough. And now it's something. It's gonna make people consider you when buying a system now. Like, and you know, people are gonna consider you as playing in the game. So congratulations on that. But that doesn't mean they're gonna consider you playing well in the game. So I'm very interested to see what they had. They dropped the ball with Starfield. I think Buried in There personally is a good game. I also tend to love those kinds of, like, epic exploratory games, but even then, I think it's the weakest of all the Bethesda games. And despite what I think about it, you know, it's not like Fallout 76, where I'm like, y'all are just straight up wrong about this game. This one, nah, not so much. It's weak in a lot of aspects. So having that as the you know, that was not really the tentpole game that I think that they were hoping for. So at this point, Bethesda, you have to go back and either hit Fallout or Elder Scrolls. Like, one of these two has to be done, and it has to be done right. And you better get that shit out soon. You do not have 5 years to be like, oh, here's the next Elder Scrolls. No, next Elder Scrolls needs to be here in fucking, I don't know, 2 years, developed by Microsoft, functioning, and awesome. Just do it well.
Aren't they?
And that'll still only be one.
I think they're now really going to full production with the game now that Starfield's out. That's what I think I read.
Yeah, that's the. I mean, my hope is that when they do these things, they generally do a lot of asset and engine building that lets them work, you know, take it into other projects. So I'm hoping that that's the case. And I understand that games have long development time and that you can't parse up your studios. But Bethesda, you can't keep doing this. I can't wait 10 plus years between Fallout games. I mean, I'll still buy them, but somebody's going to come in and start delivering where you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to pow world your Pokemon
No, you're right. So Microsoft, man, got to start releasing games. Again, you have all these studios. Where are the games at? That's it. It's like you could have all these talks all day, every day about what strategies can Microsoft do? What can they do? What can they do? And do release games. That's it. That's all people want, you know? All right. By the way, speaking about Bethesda, I see this on a timeline right now on Twitter. Fallout has been renewed for season 2. No surprise there. Although, as Manny, as you explained, it probably was already, you know, in the pipeline.
It was already probably in production already. Whenever they say season 2, because how many episodes will Fallout?
Eight, I believe.
8 episodes? They were probably already
in development. Yeah, they ordered that from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, they ordered. It's literally the idea, the way it is right now. It's like they're literally starting to show episodes while they're still in production on the next batch of episodes.
Yeah,
yeah. Remember they did the same thing with that Twisted Metal show. Like yeah. They had Mackie come out at the Game Awards. It's like, oh, we got renewed for season 2. No, you didn't. They ordered that from the beginning.
Yeah,
they were already in production.
Yeah, They make the investment of the thing. They make the investment of it, you know, that, and they're already working on those episodes already. Or they're already filmed.
Yeah. All right. And that's pretty much it, man. So let's go over what games we've been playing. Rich, you and I will abstain from this one. Because obviously we can't talk about Stellar Blade, but we have been playing it.
Obviously, and, yeah. You're playing Super Mario Brothers.
I could say I've been playing it. I could say that. You know, we could say that. And a lot of our peers obviously did the same thing, you know. One thing I did just different, because, you know, you were allowed to post a screenshot. Everybody just literally just took a screenshot from their PlayStation, which is cool. But I'm like, I want to do something a little different. I took a screenshot of my TV, you know, and it looked nice. It was, you know, nice lighting that day. So, yeah, Rich, you know, you and I will abstain from this part, obviously. But next week, Rich and I will give you our full review of Stellar Blade, man. It's going to be fun, you know. Good stuff. So I'm going to go down the line here. Manny, have you been playing anything lately?
I mean, I've just been hacking away at Hi-Fi Rush a little bit. And
on PlayStation.
Play a little bit on the PlayStation version. Yeah, I mean, I haven't had a whole lot of time, you know, as of late. But, you know, it's nice to be able to go over and play a little bit of something and then, you know, stop. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Carlos, what have you been playing? And is it chess?
The answer is yes. The FIDE candidates tournament is going on right now, so I got motivated.
Nice.
So, yeah, been playing that, and I haven't had time to play actual video games because I binge watched and many and Brian will like this Pluto, which I finished, which is great.
Yeah, boy.
Good.
Cool. Brett, what have you?
You should watch it, Tony. Yeah. It's a good one.
What is it? What's Pluto? What's that?
It's essentially a sort of cyberpunk retelling of an Astro Boy story.
What is it?
But it's more in the line.
No, what is it? Live action, anime. What is this?
Anime.
Yeah, and since you're recommending it, I'm guessing it's not a bunch of fucking CG shit. You know.
No, it's all animated. Yeah. So yeah, no, it's not a bunch of CG shit.
Cool. All right. I'll put that on the list then. Thank you. See, Manny, I listen to your recommendations too. You know what I like, you know? Yeah.
It's a good one. I suggested it to, I mean, I did suggest it before to like, to both Carlos and Brian. So I was like, you guys will watch it. I couldn't stop watching it. It was really good.
Nice. Brett, what have you been playing lately, sir?
I have been playing Dragon's Dogma 2, and I'm still playing Baldur's Gate. There's just so much Baldur's Gate.
You know what's fun about Baldur's Gate? Even now, there isn't a day that goes by where I don't see somebody talking about it on Twitter. It's like, dude, that, you know?
That game, I know it was gone for the announcement of this, but like how it swept... It's the first game to win all 5 major gaming Game of the Year awards.
Yeah.
It's the first time the industry has all gotten together and went, yeah, that one. Like, holy hell, that's pretty fucking big. And like, I know that Brian and I were like, y'all aren't ready for Larian, but like, I don't think either of us were prepared for I don't know. Brian, were you ready for this level of acceptance and celebration? Because I wasn't.
Not this level, but I just assumed that it was going to be purely based on Baldur's Gate 2 and how much acclaim that got, but I didn't expect this much.
Yeah, it's just, I had high expectations that you guys surpassed them, so. That's great, and, you know, it's also awesome to hear them say we're not doing Baldur's Gate anymore because it means they're doing something else. They're doing another thing.
Tell me that isn't, Brett, I think you were here for the episode. Tell me that's not the most pimp move ever. It's like, all right, we're done now. Like, damn, man. Leave them waiting for more, right? No.
So good. I don't even, like, I ain't even mad. Like, fuck. No,
that's
like,
baller. That is baller shit, man. Respect.
Yeah.
It's baller's like,
game. You guys baller's doing it.
You know what it is.
Is because they're like, now we're too big. It's like, We were jockeying to try to get Baldur's Gate for years now from you, Wizards of the Coast. Now you gave it to us, and you know what? It did well, and we say fuck you. And yeah. not to mention, because I'm sure they want, because I'm sure now Wizards of the Coast and you know are saying, oh man, we really want them to do this, right? But now they're like, nah, we ain't gonna do it. And not to mention. What was it? The head of Wizards of the Coast just recently stepped down. So it was a double whammy off of those guys. Been a bag of dicks for the last few years now.
God, Wizards of the Coast fucking suck. They suck so hard.
Oh, yeah. I've been seeing some of that drama. And not to derail the conversation, Brett, have you seen this drama with Warhammer? Jesus Christ. You know, it's like,
no, what is the Warhammer drama?
I'll tell you off air. We're not going to get into that on air. Okay. Oh my God.
I want to say this. I want to say this to some earlier in the year Wizards of the Coast shit, right? Like, because this baffles me. I've talked to a few people about it, and I had them be like, no, you're not wrong. Like, that's not a, like, so, like, just having been validated a couple times, I really have to say to the whole, like, we're removing half orcs because they make you think of you know who race. First of all, no, I don't know who. And I think that's a you problem. I think that's a real big you problem. And if you ever say, oh, that D&D race reminds me of you know who group of people, go fuck yourself, I guess. Like, that's just, who the fuck does that? That just sounds like a you problem. And then just to be like,
that sounds like some sort of racism that's on the person who's attributing these things to other people.
Yeah,
no. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you've internalized racism and now are saying you're going to fix your internalized racism by not fixing the racism, but just stopping it from being public. And now you want what? Applause, award, a cookie? Like, here's the thing. Don't associate half-orcs with any group of people, or elves, or a like, no group of people is a fantasy race. Specifically the ones that are, like, half-monsters. Like, fucking come on!
Brett, don't you see how this is all an effect to get rid of the racism? By making sure that people of different races cannot mix with each other, so that they're all pure. See? That's how you make sure that things aren't racist, by making sure that people can't mix races together, you see?
Right, yeah, you know what? And we should go one step further and just solve the trouble by, like, just not mixing them, just giving them equal stuff, but, you know, different, not in the same place.
You mean segregate them?
Separate but equal, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, like, that's how you solve racism, to make sure that people don't mix races.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, true. Problem so solved.
That,
there you go.
So that there's certain races that are pure, if you know what I mean.
Man.
And yes, that's a direct reference to that guy in the mid-century.
With the funny mustache, you know, probably Chaplin mustache. All right, man.
And then not to mention all the other garbage they were doing, you know, with the D&D franchise, where they were like saying, oh, hey, you know, you can't, you know, what was it? Any of your games that are kind of, you know, jump off games that use our system, we're going to charge you and we own whatever you create. Remember?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I
remember.
That was a brilliant one. All in an effort to try to make more money out of this stuff. And even the Baldur's Gate thing is not a good situation too, because they're literally, like, you know, they're in the business of trying to make this digital, what was it, that digital game board right?
Yep.
And isn't the Baldur's, aren't they like, oh, wait, you can kind of do that with Baldur's Gate already and it looks better?
Yeah, no, Baldur's Gate does everything that they had promised, but like in a way better way where like enemies actually have AI instead of just being a digital token that moves around. They have animations. They have the, it's everything that like, if they release a content creator or like a toolbox, workshop toolbox, I forget the word for it exactly. But the thing that people can use to like make their own DLC, make their own quest, and that would render Wizards of the Coast's digital subscription, like live service war chest thing that they're trying to launch that is basically a shittier version of Baldur's Gate. It would render that completely useless. And so I'm sure that has led to all kinds of heated internal stuff. And I love the fact that Larian just kind of went like, we're done being restricted by your system. There's stuff we want to do that doesn't fit into D&D, so go fuck yourself. Like,
I mean, the thing about it is they need to do is just, you know, put out the title that they're known for, and then they're like, now it just says from the creators of Baldur's Gate, right? You know, Larian Studios.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, Divinity 3. Oh my God, Divinity 3.
Yeah. There you go.
But even then, I think they're working on a new thing. I think they might be working on a brand new IP. I forget where I heard it, but
if they do a cyberpunk or future type one.
I had heard that's what I had heard. They're doing a cyberpunk thing, and I was like, oh my God, please let that be true.
All right.
Be like,
yeah.
Be like, hey, this is how you really do it. Oh, take that, CD Projekt Red.
And I still think they did a good job.
I mean, they did a good job, but they did a good job at creating a game, like an action, you know, an action game, but they didn't make an RPG.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. All right, Brett, anything else you've been playing?
Dragon's Dogma 2.
Cool. How's that still treating you?
I played the hell out of Dragon's Dogma 2.
Nice. Brian.
Brian.
Yeah, Brian, go ahead.
Would you ever release your Brett Pawn code?
I can, yeah. I can make it public. It's definitely there.
Who's playing Baldur's Gate want to have Brett as their pawn?
Yeah. Well, it's Dragon's Dogma.
PC, you can just hire me. Yeah, and I guess you can have the sliders and now create and control me. That's weird, but yeah, cool. Let's do this. I will join you for adventures, I guess. That is weird.
Yeah. Brett makes an amazing tank. He's pretty much just a he's a lovely lovely offensive person in the best way possible.
Like, that sounds about right.
He'll charge head first and just take stuff out, you know, like he'll just headbutt things on purpose and he'll just throw things at different creatures. It's fantastic. I mean, once you picked up like a giant ice block and then you just threw it at a Cyclops. And I was like, yep, that makes sense.
That's funny. So, yeah,
to answer Tony's question, mm-hmm. Dragon's Dogma, because that's all that is. I'm still just having fun. I unlocked one of the advanced classes, which is a trickster, which you pretty much play the game as a weed smoker. And that sounds funny, but it's actually really quite true, because you go around... what's a good word for, like, swing stuff in your hand?
I think swing stuff in your hand. I
don't know. Yeah, but, like... Truly, there's like a fancy term for that, you know. Like, no,
I don't know.
You look like a fire spinner, but with like a smoke thing.
Okay, you basically swing around a incense stack, and this incense stack allows you to confuse your enemies while you sit back and watch them just fall over. And I know that sounds dumb, but that's true.
I can't wait to get the class that allows you to combine the two different classes. Or more.
Oh yeah, I've seen that class, and I can already think of some pretty broken combos, because there's one spell which basically regenerates your stamina at incredibly fast speeds. And then there's another class that uses up your stamina to become a god. So you can see where that's going.
Next, like I just want to combine the weed smoking class where I can confuse everybody to fight amongst each other, and the sorcerer class where I can light the ground on fire so that every time I like go into battle, it's just people murdering each other and screaming and running around and everything's on fire, just 110% chaos. It's gonna be great.
I seen as one guy did this combo where he was the weed smoking class and he had three mages, and all those three mages had one of the maester skills, which are like the top tier skills in the game, and he was able to down a drake in less than 20 seconds. Which, if you fought a drake, you know that's a really strong feat.
I've been breaking sorcerer. Like I've just been dropping things I probably shouldn't be able to drop.
Can you guys talk about what's been going on? Well, people have been sabotaging their pawns as of late with the dragon curse. You haven't heard about this yet?
I have heard about it. I just have not hired new pawns in a while, so
a person can get a dragon curse on them, which turns them into a dragon and will instantly kill everybody in the town if they go to sleep in the town.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that. Dragon's Plague. The pawns keep talking about it every now and then, but so far I've not seen one with that yet, and I keep checking just in case. And
yeah, you gotta check their eyes, because their eyes like glow or something.
I've heard that one of the ways to fix it is to kill the pawn by killing it. So far everything's good, but I just don't know how you get it in the first place, because surely there's something that triggers it. I've heard some people saying if you get grabbed by a drake, then possibly that's how you get Dragon's Plague. But so far the drakes have not been living long enough to do that. So yeah, Brett's safe.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Brian?
I did platinum Life is Strange on my birthday last week. So that was another year in the books. And I'm thinking that for my 35th birthday next year, I'm going to go for Final Fantasy 15.
Ooh.
Because it'll be my 35th birthday in the year 2020. 35th birthday in the year 2025. And Final Fantasy 15. Some nice numbers there.
Yeah, I like that. That's
but cool. It's my 61st platinum, so it's kind of like, I need to fix that somehow. Yeah, that's the plan.
Cool. All right, and Chris. Oh, by the way, we lost Brett, it seems. Uh-oh. Anyway, Chris, what have you been playing lately?
He's probably become his pawn.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm still playing Alone in the Dark. I have been switching it up a little bit. You know, with time with Olivia. So I got Princess Peach Showtime. So I've been playing that for her because she really liked the ads. So I got it and she loves the game, right? I'm trying to show her how to play it a little bit, but mostly I end up playing it. And it's fun. And I've been playing the game Adam recommended. He gifted me on Steam, Hunt Down. And that game's fun. It's like old school side scroller. Reminds me of Blackthorn.
Oh, interesting.
Way back in the day. Yeah. It's like that, but it's a very cyberpunk themed. And you're a bounty hunter and you just go hunt down gang members and all this stuff. So that one's fun. I've been playing that on Steam Deck.
Nice. And Rich, have you snuck in any other games or it's just been solid late for you?
There are a few things that I have been playing, but I can't talk about those things either.
Uh-oh. Man, sworn to secrecy, you know? All right, fair enough. But we will discuss all that in the future when the time comes, you know? Unlike, I'm just going to say it, unlike Tom Henderson, we don't break embargo around here. You know? We don't do that around Throwdown, man. Wild stuff. All right, people, you already know, man. We're done here, so do we have anything to plug? Rich, I'm going to go to you. What's going on with the Coalition?
So first and foremost, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to promote I Am Negan. If you still would like to hear our review of I Am Negan, We covered Carlos's favorite show of the year, The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live. Yeah, so I would say if you are interested in hearing what we have to say, check that out. I also, again, want to plug the Invincible podcast. Yes, that was an awesome discussion. So check that out if you want to hear our thoughts. As for what's coming up, well, let me just say next week is a very big week for games. Now, we already spoke about one game coming out. There's actually a lot of things coming out from, based on what I heard the last couple of days. So I would recommend that you all stay tuned to the website. I also would recommend that you check out our Coalition Gaming channel, because our very good friend Danny Martinez actually posted up two videos the last couple of days. One about Helldivers 2 and another one about Destiny, because, you know, there's a Destiny expansion coming out sometime in June. So check all that out, because there's a lot of stuff coming. And the last comment that I will make, obviously, as Tony already said, we cannot talk about a certain game that drops next week. But I do want to say this. When we started this podcast, Tony had a segment talking about an interview. I've also noticed that there has been a huge marketing push for this particular game.
Yes.
So is that a good or a bad thing? We'll tell you the answer next week on Throwdown.
There you go. I love the tease, man. That's how you do it. Professional right there, people. You already know, man. All right. So, yeah, we're done here, man. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube if you have been watching us. Hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. And we go live same time as on Twitch, 10:30 p.m. Eastern on Thursday and Sundays. You already know. And obviously, join a Discord gang where rumors and conversations are always popping. Shout out to you guys. We get all the news from you, you know, all this good stuff you post. And obviously, where you leave your questions for the question show, join a Discord, man. We're always getting, you know, a couple of new people here and there, and you're all welcome to discuss gaming and other fun stuff, you know. Throwdown, we're also on every podcast app on the planet, Throwdown Show. Two words, Throwdown Show, and also throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Monjoma.
In the wise words of an internet personality, what's wrong with her face?
Oh, man, that jaw, man, that jaw, son.
Oh, yeah, shout out to Mr. Plinkett.
Yeah, you already know. All right, yeah, but go watch Mask from the 80s with Cher, if you know what I'm talking about.
Dennis.
Oh, man. All right, people, you already know, man. Later.